The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
Well, this guy has done a lot of things, but like we said, arguably played in the greatest college basketball tournament game ever, and he's kind enough to join us right now on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. Jamal Mashburn with us here on The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. Jamal, thank you for coming on the program. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
You're doing well, Jamal. I want to also talk about what it is you're doing with the American Cancer Society. There's a recommendation out now, a new campaign called Box Out Colon Cancer, encouraging people 45 and older to make sure that they get the test, because prevention could certainly be the thing that saves your life or somebody that you love's life. Can you talk about why, the personal connection to this, why you're doing this now?
Yeah, I teamed up with Exact Sciences and Blue Hat Foundation to really encourage people 45 years and older to get screened for colon cancer. And it was something that's near and dear to my heart. My mother, Helen Mashburn, she dealt with colon cancer back in 2003. I was at the height of my NBA career, making an all-star team, my first all-star appearance. And then on the off-the-court side, my mom is in the hospital being diagnosed with colon cancer. So you can just imagine the trail of emotions, the mental stress, not only for me, but really for her and what she was going through. So it's very near and dear to my heart.
And I appreciate the message getting out there, because when you're of a certain age, what do we always say? Oh, I don't have time. I'll get to it when I get to it. Make time for this, Jamal. Make time. You know that better than anybody else.
Yeah, 100%. And the reason why you should make time is not only to be active about your health, to go ahead and get screened if you're 45 and older, but also to have an active conversation around health and wellness, and not have the fear of the unknown. You'd rather know than not know. So for me, I've utilized this platform and my mother's story and experience that I've had, not only as her son, but also as a caregiver. You know, you want to be around for your loved ones so you can enjoy long-lasting memories on this earth and participate in life with them.
Yeah, solid message to get out. Jamal Mashburn with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
The other thing that I'm sure not a lot of people know, it's a second leading cancer-related killer, which means that diagnosis early is a way that you actually eradicate what could be terrible odds for you, correct?
100%, and you hit it right on the head. You know, colon cancer is the most preventable but least prevented cancer. It's treatable and preventable if caught early. And then another stat for you, which I didn't know until I joined this campaign, was it's the number one killer of men as well. And in the African-American community, you're more likely to develop and die of colon cancer. So it's a conversation that we all need to have, put it on the table, and go get screened, because it is treatable, and preventable if caught early.
And make time for it is the message, could save your life. Jamal Mashburn, like we said, with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. We've been talking about you and looking forward to you joining us for about a week now since we found out you were coming on. There's a lot to unpack, and let's start with it being the tournament season. Perhaps a painful memory for you. You played very well in arguably the greatest college game ever that you came up short in, the Christian Laettner game, the shot game as it's known, in the Spectrum in Philadelphia. As Kentucky gets back on the map, you lose that game, but boy, that team seems to be one of the most revered Kentucky teams of all time based on what the school came back from, right?
Correct. I mean, I think, you know, people often look at just the wins and losses and the score of the game. Obviously, Duke won that game, but it was actually a turning point for the University of Kentucky basketball program. We couldn't get into the tournament my first year. We were on probation. I committed to the University of Kentucky to play for Rick Pitino, and he let me know day one that we're not going to be able to compete in the NCAA tournament under any circumstance, and then your sophomore year you will be able to. So it was actually, you know, David versus Goliath. Nobody expected us to even be in the Elite Eight at that particular point from what we had endured from previous years in that particular organization. But, you know, people were connected to that particular game for a lot of different reasons. And one of the reasons why I love participating in that game, I can remember it was just one of those games where you had two Hall of Fame coaches and Rick Pitino and Mike Krzyzewski, who really just took a step back and allowed the players to actually play and make plays. And if I can equate it to anything, it's like everybody was in the zone at that particular time. It was just, you know, time stood still. Everything moved slow. There was no crowd around us or anything like that. I didn't hear any cheers or boos or anything like that. We were really, really all present and all just competing at the purest level of college basketball.
I think the magnitude of that game also led to something else we'll talk about in your association with the Dream Team in 92. But I got to ask, if you look back now, did you think about actually going a little bit closer to Grant Hill and maybe putting somebody on the inbounds pass? Or?
Well, you know what? That was Coach Pitino's job. That was above my pay grade at that particular time, you know. So he's the one that has to make the decisions and all those different things. You know, what was interesting about that particular call, and a lot of people don't realize this, is that I equate that Duke team with Bobby Hurley, Christian Laettner, and Grant Hill. They were the equivalent to the Chicago Bulls of Michael Jordan, Scottie Pittman, and Dennis Rodman as far as fanfare off the court. People loved them. People followed them and everything like that. And I remember equating, you know, Christian Laettner to Michael Jordan from the standpoint that you couldn't touch Christian Laettner. You would get a foul called on you immediately. So he was the darling of college basketball during that particular era. Or you can say he was a foe to some people as well. You know, he was a villain to some. But, you know, Christian Laettner to me is one of the all-time great collegiate players of all time.
Yeah, I think you could probably describe your former coach there, Rick Pitino, is the same way, polarizing. People either really love him or they don't. What was it like playing for a guy like that on a day-to-day basis?
You know, one thing that me and that drew me to Coach Pitino started recruiting me at and I got to know him when he was at Providence at a five-star camp. It was a camp that a lot of top players went to in Honesdale, New York, upstate New York. And that's where I first got indoctrinated to understanding who Rick Pitino was. He was a teacher of the game, a motivator for sure. But the one thing that he was always consistent with me was he was honest with me. You know, he told me it was my time to leave after my junior year, even before my junior year, after I played against the Dream Team. And he always had my best interest in heart. And he knew that, you know, I was going to be the catalyst or one of the people that helped revive the University of Kentucky basketball program. But he thought of me more as a person and what my future looked like. So I always hold Coach Pitino in high regard. And he was always an honest participant in my journey and helped me out probably the most to become the player that I became at the college and at the pro level.
Jamal, before we talk about that Dream Team, where four of you guys were on the court at the same time, and there's a couple of stories there. Can you just explain to people what playing at Rucker Park was actually all about? And I don't know how young you were when you were able to get on the court, because I'm assuming you were playing with older people back then. What does that do for a young guy's game and that atmosphere?
Well, you know, it's playing street basketball, playing outside, which a lot of kids don't do to this day. You know what I mean? They play in gyms and different things like that, or a controlled environment. I grew up a block away or two blocks away from Rucker Park, so I used to walk over there and play. And the one thing that got me better was, as a young kid, I always played against older people. You know, I never really played against my age group unless it was an AAU tournament, and even then I would always play up. So getting a chance to play against older people made imprints on my game where I didn't have any fear of doing anything or competing against anybody. So learned a lot from playing in Rucker Park and also up and down the streets in New York. So it added a little bit of grit and a sauce to my game, as they say, and some skill and different things like that. But, you know, growing up in New York City at that particular time, there was competition in every park you walked in, young and old.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
So you are in college and you're on the team that's practicing against the Dream Team. And I've heard you tell this story about Larry Bird and Rodney Rogers before. But for those that haven't heard it, could you indulge us again?
Yeah, of course. You know, I got selected in 1992. It was about a month or so after we had lost to the Duke Kentucky in the Duke Kentucky game. You know, when you're growing up and you're a kid watching basketball and you have desires to play at the NBA level, there are a couple of occasions or a couple of events that you want to play in. Obviously, college basketball is one at the highest level. And the second for me was play for the Olympic team. And in that particular year, you know, myself, Chris Webber, Penny Hardaway, Bobby Hurley, Allen Houston, Grant Hill, Eric Montrose, and Rodney Rogers got an opportunity not to necessarily go to the Olympics, but actually compete with the Dream Team, the first Dream Team, and practice against them. So what they would do with us is that we would come in while they're practicing, and then we would scrimmage with them. And on the first day, we actually beat them. But Larry Bird, when I first walked into the hotel and we were in La Jolla, San Diego, you know, I won't curse on the air, but he said, had a few choice words for me and Chris Webber, and basically said in the hallway, "Are you college guys? Are you the college guys?" And we said, "Yeah." And he told us, you know, "Get some bleeping rest," you know. And that was my first Larry Bird interaction. And the first thing I realized about Larry Bird was not only was he a great trash talker, but he was the tallest human being I'd ever seen at that particular point, being 6'10". And then we had the opportunity to practice against them the first day. We beat them the first day, but the rest of the 6 days, they kicked our tail. And it really gave me an opportunity to see Michael Jordan up close, Larry Bird at the end of his career, but still be great, and watch Magic Johnson perform. And Charles Barkley was the second best player on that Dream Team, and Karl Malone. So I tell people all the time, you know, that particular experience led me to get drafted, because Coach Patino, after I got back from that week-long experience, he called me in the office and said, "Hey, Jamal, this is going to be your final year. You know, I got great reports back. Go through your junior year, and you're going to be no less than the top four overall pick in the up-and-coming draft." So I credit that experience not only for getting me drafted, but also giving me the confidence that I can play at the NBA level.
So we talked to Charles, Christian, Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill. There's somebody else we probably spoke to about this thing. But the other story that really isn't as widely known is you guys actually had a scoreboard up there. And tell everybody what happened, why the scoreboard all of a sudden went off.
Yeah, so it was very interesting. And, you know, when you go out there and you're playing against the Dream Team, first of all, there was only eight of us. And we, our head coach at the time was Roy Williams, and he coached the University of North Carolina. And so we're competing against them and everything like that. And the first thing we recognize is that they're not in awe of us. And I think we had a point to prove. And so we got out the gates rather quickly. They couldn't stay in front of Bobby Hurley. Chris Webber was a problem for him. Allen Houston was shooting the lights out from the three-point line. And what was interesting was we were beating them pretty handily. And they called the game off like at the third quarter or something like that, or the second half or something, middle of the second half. And then we noticed that they opened this door up and they brought in all these reporters. There were probably about 200 reporters. And then we look up, the scoreboard's down. There's no hint that we played against them. There's no record of it or anything like that. And I found that to be very interesting. But as you sat there and watched them do their media interviews, they were very complimentary of us, essentially, of how good we were and different things like that. but nobody wanted to reveal that we were kicking their tail a little bit. But they came back the rest of the 6 days and really put it to us.
They wouldn't go that far to say you guys were beating them. But Jamal Mashburn is with us. And again, we're talking about getting tested for colon cancer at the age of 45 or older, the nation's second leading cancer-related killer. Find the time to get tested, and that's the main reason we're having you on, to get that message across. But obviously so many other stories to tell you. Go to the NBA. I don't know what you can or can't say about the controversy surrounding the Dallas Mavericks, but back then, it was the days before the internet. How many off-the-court distractions were there? How true are some of the rumors floating around surrounding that team?
There were a lot of urban legends surrounding that team. And I think when you're a losing team and you win 13 games and different things like that the year before, you draft a hot pick in Jason Kidd. There was a lot of expectations. And, there was a lot of rumors about there, the Tony Braxton thing and everything like that. That wasn't true at all. And I think Jason and Jimmy have addressed that in the past. It's just unfortunate that we didn't get an opportunity to really gel together and really impart our flag on that particular franchise as young players. I think there was a lot of lack of leadership. There was ownership change as well. And it's basically professional sports, and we didn't get the opportunity to really showcase our talent as a collective. But we did as individuals throughout our careers. But it's something that I regret, that I wish we would have had more leadership and all of us been a little bit more humble to stick this thing through.
A couple of quick things. Do you think your group would have won Olympic gold in 92?
100% yes. Yeah, 100%. There was no doubt in my mind that we would have won or at least competed for one. But I do think it was the right thing for the NBA to participate in USA Basketball, because they had Michael Jordan, who's the greatest of all time, in my opinion, and they were globalizing the game. So the impact that 92 Dream Team had, has served purposes way beyond 1992. I mean, you can look at the top five players or top three players in the NBA now. They're all international players. So that probably has a direct impact on what they were able to see and visualize by that Dream Team, that 92 experience.
What do you think about NIL? And I don't want to, in 1992 dollars, what do you think you could have made with Kentucky, whether it's the horse people or whether it's anybody else in the area that might have wanted to get in on the Kentucky basketball thing?
That would be tough to say. It would have been a lot, probably would have stayed in school one more year. Probably didn't need to go to NBA. Probably would have made more at Kentucky than at my first year in the NBA. I'm glad it wasn't around when I played. This is a different era and a different time. It's free agency for college athletes, and they have the power now. That would have been difficult to deal with. Especially, I think what's going to impart on kids is that, you're going to have to be financially literate in order to, really do something worthwhile with that NIL money rather than spend it. And I caution kids on taxes. Be mindful of taxes and different things like that, and protect yourself. So, and also don't think of the short term as far as chasing the money. Think of the long term and what you want to accomplish in your career on and off the basketball court.
I don't want to look into your pocket, and I don't know if the internet tells the truth or not, but you really have had an incredible post-basketball career in terms of investments. I think I joked about horses, but I think you've been in that world, certainly in the restaurant world, fast food restaurant world. Are you aware that people like me sort of and Nick, my partner, sort of know that about you? And it's to be not only commended, but in some ways, I hope it gets talked about as well.
Yeah, I don't mind. I've always thought of basketball as being an entrepreneur as well. And my father was a professional boxer. He was a heavyweight back in the 70s for Larry Holmes and Ken Norton, all those guys. So I saw what professional sports really means as far as the underbelly is concerned, where you don't make a lot of money. So I was always thinking about what's life after basketball looks like. I mean, you're going to finish. I finished at 33, 34 years old, and there's a lot of life to live. And I was always curious about the business world, at work ethic, and had great people around me, and always wanted to learn. So I've always approached life in that manner. So for me, it's It's just a part of my next chapter. And, you know, it's something I enjoy doing. And I'm glad people recognize it and different things like that. But I'm also a very private person. And that's why, you know, I kind of keep things on the low and don't really talk about it as much because, you know, I always consider myself a lifelong learner and I can always improve as a man, as a partner, and as a friend as well.
Well, Jamal, we appreciate the time, and the message is a positive one. Get out there and get tested for colon cancer if you're 45 or older. Second leading cancer-related killer. Make the time. I think that's the message to get across because a lot of people are going to say they don't have the time. Make the time. It could save your life.
100%. And go to boxoutcoloncancer.com if you want to get any more information. But I really appreciate you guys and sharing the time and the opportunity and platform and giving me this moment. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you as well. Always a pleasure having you on. You're welcome back anytime. Jamal Mashburn with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker Line.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download The Fan app.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.